The following presentation is a Barrett Sports Media production. Recognizing the unsung heroes of sports media.
I'm stuck in this pit, working for less than slave wages, working on my day off.
This is the Producers Podcast.
I'm a producer.
Oh, you're the executive producer.
Now, here's your host, Dimitri Robinos.
That voice belongs to Ryder. RyderVO.com is the official sponsor of this show, and you have heard his voice all over the place, not just in the world of sports, but on movie and TV trailers as well. It's a commanding presence of a voice and one that is familiar to anybody that follows sports or entertainment, and he could be the voice of your station. Just go to RyderVO.com for a custom demo today. Again, that is RyderVO.com. So Aaron Raybould and I met in an interesting way over the weekend. I just tweeted out that I was looking for Texas A&M fans in sports radio. A friend and I have started a t-shirt company. It is all focused on in-jokes and cool shirts for SEC football fans, and we're sending some out to folks in sports radio, right? So I just tweet out anyone out there in sports radio, a Texas A&M fan, and Aaron tweets me back, saying that his wife went to school there and he has adopted them as a as his team in the state of Texas. He works at ESPN 97.5, which carries the team's games in Houston, and he would love to have a shirt. And oh, by the way, I listen to the Producers Podcast every week and think you do a really great job. And I didn't have a guest lined up for this week at the time, so I just thought, what the hell, let's get Aaron on the show for a couple of reasons. First of all, he has been working on The Blitz with Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman for a while, and that is one of these shows across the nation that is just perfectly equipped to deal with a world with no sports. On top of that, and we get into this in the show, A.J. Hoffman has a long history with the UFC and MMA in general, and coming off of a weekend where UFC is the first live American sport to play again, I thought this was a pretty good time to talk about how building those relationships for years when so many people did not care about the UFC is now paying off at a time when everybody is struggling to find great content for Aaron, Fred, and AJ. So without any further ado, here is my chat with Aaron Raybould of The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. So with COVID-19 putting the brakes on everything in the sports world, as the producer of a show in Houston, is there relief or disappointment we don't get to see how the Astros story plays out to its inevitable conclusion?
Actually, it's kind of 50-50. Yeah. To the point where, you know, we wanted to see what was going to happen, but at the same time, it was also a, thank God, everybody's going to stop talking about them nationwide of, oh, what are the cheaters going to do this time? And like, both Fred and AJ are very realistic about things. Mm. And so when the first rumors came out of, oh, they're cheating, a lot of hosts around town, no, they would never do that. And both of them went, of course they do. Everybody cheats. It's baseball. That's what baseball does. So they were used to it from day one. And then when it just kept picking up more and more steam nationwide, it got to the point of, okay, we've already talked about this. Like, let's just keep going.
Yeah. Oh, that is an interesting thing that you guys were dealing with. And I know other markets have dealt with this when it comes to other stories, but you know, right now we're all in a time where we are looking for content wherever we can find it. Right. And I know you guys were not strictly married to sports all the time anyway. So you guys are pretty good. I would imagine are doing okay right now. It's not that big of a change for you, but when you're in a city like Houston and you have the Astros scandal going down, like part of your job is to think about, okay, it's day five. What have we not done with this? Like, well, what can we do to keep people from flipping the channel? Because the Astros are still the headline right now.
Yeah. And luckily our audience is really, basically the way Fred Fowler describes us, we're acquired taste. We're like alcohol. you're going to taste it the first time. And some of you are just going to, you know, bitter back.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you'll get a taste for it and you'll want it again. But our audience has been, I guess, understanding enough that when they got tired of it and it being pounded in, because they felt, I mean, this city is very, I guess, loyal. So New York, LA, the big markets going after the Astros and the Astros fan base constantly, they felt like they were just getting downtrodden and beat up about it. So yeah. Eventually it was a, all right, let's move on and go back to what we normally do. Well, I mean, the slogan of our show is sports and stuff.
Right.
So it's everything. So it was, okay, we've done a good amount on this. There's nothing new. When the Red Sox stuff came out, both Fred and AJ were like, I told you so. It doesn't matter. Like, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Don't think that you need to watch your best friend get punished because he took out the car just the same night you did, and you got grounded for a month, but he only got grounded for 2 days. Don't worry about what he got grounded for. Just live your life.
Yeah. Yeah, so with you guys doing the whole sports and stuff approach, is that true of the entire station, or is that mostly true of you three?
It's actually true of our station as it evolved.
Yeah.
Because Fred and AJ have been together now, actually just celebrated 10 years two Fridays ago. But that was always what they did. And when I first, the first time I was hired by Gal Media back in 2014, and they were on the air, it was two local shows and then all ESPN national programming all around it. SVP and Russillo, Mike and Mike, of course, Cowherd at the time. So they were kind of the staple. The other local show was originally, well, when I got there, it was Dave Tepper and Jerome Solomon. Jerome moved on, then Dave Tepper and Sean Salisbury, then Tepper moved on. But Fred and AJ have been like the building block of how that station, kind of how we go after everything is.
Yeah.
Yes, we don't want you to hammer stats. I mean, if you want to, go ahead, hammer stats for 3 hours. But if you want to venture out and talk about the latest movie you saw or talk about your favorite beer that you just drank, go for it.
And AJ's the guy's talking. Yeah, AJ's the PD now, right?
Yes.
So I guess when, you know, that Wednesday night Rudy Gobert test positive and then everything, you know, the NBA season, the NCAA tournament, Major League Baseball, all these dominoes start falling one by one. I would guess you guys were probably at a position where there didn't really need to be a where do we go from here meeting, because that's just it, certainly for your show, that's just what you guys do. And then I don't know, was it just a matter of tweaking the other shows in the lineup, or has everything been built so in the image of Fred and AJ that everybody just sort of was able to pick up and move on?
I wouldn't even say so much in the image of Fred and AJ, because like our morning show, John Granato, Lance Zierlein, they are Houston sports media royalty. They were doing their show on what is the Texans flagship now for so long that when we got them back together, this city being so nostalgic and still loyal, they were like, oh yeah, this is what, but they've always had that. That's just both of their personalities.
Yeah.
They're goofy. They just want to have fun with their job.
Yeah.
And yes, they can come in after the Texans blow a, you know, 24-point lead and come in and go, all right, well, let's break this down for an hour. Yeah. or they can sit there and go, you know what? Not a lot going on in sports. Let's take a day and just talk about the goofy things around the world that we can see.
Yeah. All right. So since the COVID-19 pandemic had us all at home, I know, AJ, you were telling me, limited how many people were in the studio on a given day. So you guys are rotating and working on multiple shows basically right now, right?
Yep. So basically we had enough technology to send every on-air host, with the exception of Charlie Palillo, just cause he didn't want to, home. So with a makeshift Comrex from home. So they all are broadcasting from their house. And then for producers, just to limit our interaction, they went to two per day. So Monday through Friday, we're, you know, working 2 8-hour shifts. Right. And then one person works on Saturday, one person works on Sunday, and we just rotate through.
So in that sense, are you doing full-on producing for 8 hours, where for multiple shows you are not only running the board, but you're also part of the creative process? Or is there a little bit more, you know, host, this is going to be on you more than ever before right now?
For myself, I try to be as involved as possible. We just went through a lineup change.
Right.
And now from 2 to 4, we have Will Kane on his national feed. So when my shift starts Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 2 to 10 p.m., the first 2 hours, I mean, I get there at 12:30 anyways to start cutting up audio and everything like that. But every morning when I wake up, 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, I go sit at my table and I do about 2.5 to 3 hours of show prep that I've been doing for 5 or 6 years, even when I was at a completely different radio station. And I'll go through 60 something websites a day, pull the stories I think are good, categorize them, and then send them off. And originally it was just to Fred and AJ and Lance Erline, because he and I worked together at the old station. And then when this started, I just started sending it to every one of our on-air hosts. Just, you know, the more content I can provide for everybody, the better. So I do my show. I do Will Kane, just making sure everything runs smoothly for that from 2 to 4. That started yesterday. And then my show from 4 to 7. And then I'm with Patrick Creighton and Jason Braddock from 7 to 10. And I put them on every email and everything as well.
And so tell me sort of what the process is once you send all of those stories out for the day. Are you just sending stories and then whatever the hosts are going to do with it, they're going to do with it? Or is there a sort of, you know, everybody's going to talk about the same headline stuff, but as you get a little bit further down the ladder, is there a dibs calling process that happens?
No, I kind of let everybody basically tell the story in their own way. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the benefit. I mean, you can have a station that's, you know, you can build a station that you want to sound uniform from, you know, 7 to 7.
Yeah.
But every single person's coming to the table, no matter who they are, with a different way of looking at the world, with their different past experiences. So you'll send off, you know, one article of, well, guy's wife got mad, wrecked his truck, blah, blah, blah. And then you'll have somebody went, well, my ex-wife did that.
Yeah.
And then another guy will be like, yeah, I dated that girl in high school. So everybody's got some different way of breaking down a story, no matter what it is, whether it's, you know, sports, whether it's, you know, nonsense, movies, anything like that.
Yeah.
Because we all have different way of looking at all these different things.
So Gal Media there in Houston is you guys, the AM station, SB Nation Radio, the network. Am I missing anything?
We also have, so the AM station 1560 has been leased out for a while.
Okay.
But we still own the actual frequency.
Right.
But we also have Culture Map, Innovation Map, Automotive Map, and Sports Map, which Sports Map being the big, Culture Map is the big one that they bought in. And then through Fred Fowler's help, they started Sports Map, and he actually just relinquished his editor role to a guy named Josh Jordan, who's been with the company for years, who's really, really great at what he does. But it gives Fred some more free time to actually write instead of managing some of the smaller day-to-day stuff.
So when you go in now, what does the Gal building in general look like? I would imagine, I mean, I worked at SB Nation Radio as a host for a little bit. I remember that those guys, those producers were doing multiple shows at a time. I mean, is it sort of uniform across the board where every station is working with 8-hour producing shifts and the websites might be down to skeleton crew right now?
From the website perspective, I don't have too much involvement on it. I know that they've kind of limited what they're doing, budgetary reasons. But for SB Nation Radio, what I believe, from watching the guys work, they're doing 3 guys in 6-hour shifts.
Yeah.
Or 4 guys, sorry, in 6-hour shifts. That's math. I can't do math off the top of my head. 4 guys in 6-hour shifts. So they've got 1 guy coming in, you know, midnight to 6 and 6 to noon,
right.
Noon to 6. Yeah. But and then I don't know how they're rotating their weekend stuff necessarily. Yeah.
I've always thought when you do that midnight to 6, 6 to noon, there's really only one good shift in there, and it's noon to 6. Everything else is garbage.
Oh, yeah.
For the producer, anyway.
The 6 to noon wouldn't bother me if I were, you know, somebody told me I had to do it.
Right.
I did morning radio on a news talk station for 3 years, and I had to be at the station at 4 a.m. And where I live, and because Houston's so spread out, my alarm went off at 2:45 every morning for 3 years straight.
Yeah, see, I did most of my on-air career was mornings, and it is, I mean, there's no getting around it. It's hell no matter how you've been doing it. It always sucks.
It is, and when I was on the news talk station, because I had to get there at 4 a.m., waking up at 2:45, it was a pain, but there were times I got to fill in with the rock station down the dial that was still owned by, I'll call them the Evil Empire.
We all know who you mean.
So there were a couple times a year where they would do specialty broadcasts and they needed somebody to actually stay back in studio and do it. And because I was doing weekend shifts on the rock station, they'd be like, hey, you want to do it? And even then I would wake up at 3:15, and that extra 30 minutes of sleep meant I could run 100% for 19 hours, no question. But for some reason, 2:45 in the morning was miserable.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it's AJ that I'm thinking of here. He's a big MMA guy, right?
Yes, he. So he's done a lot of amateur MMA. He actually did a couple of professional fights too. He gave it up, I want to say, what, year and a half, 2 years ago now, just because his knees have gone out so many times. He's had so many surgeries on him. He just realized it's getting to be more of a younger man's game. So, you know, take it while you can. And
so we all see UFC come back over the weekend. Monday, is that a driver at all for the show, given both his expertise and the fact that this is the only live sport in the country right now?
Oh, yeah. We spent yesterday, we spent just the first two segments alone talking about it, and then jumped back the next 2 hours just here and there. You know, somebody would text in, hey, man, what did you think about this?
So tell me how you as a producer are talking to him and Fred, too, about remember that there's a huge chunk of our audience that either does not give a shit about this or does not know any of these names you're talking about. Like, tell me a little bit about the conversation to make sure those guys keep it as relatable and the door as wide open as possible for anybody listening.
They're actually really good at doing it themselves. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they will get on like just really far down that beaten path where you go,
yeah,
all right, come on, rein it in just a tiny bit and we'll get back. But they're actually really good at it. And luckily, again, a lot of our audience understands what we do, and especially they understand Fred's expertise in the world he came from. They understand AJ's expertise in the world he came from. They both have huge gambling backgrounds, so they're, I want to say, experts on that. I mean, they've worked with RJ Bell at pregame.com for years, but they know, especially in the Houston audience, if you want to hear somebody break down a UFC fight, yes, other guys are knowledgeable, but AJ's been doing it since like 1998. Like, he was one of the first people to ever email Dana White and go, hey, can I come watch this fight in a little tiny gym? And from then on, he was just in love with the sport. And I mean, he's known every time UFC comes to town, all the big fighters, and, you know, Jeremy Botter from Bleacher Report, all these guys have known him for so many years that all he has to do is snap his fingers and they're like, yeah, whatever you need, we'll do it.
That's crazy. So that probably gave you guys an advantage in terms of content, I would guess, leading into the fights too, right? Would imagine if... Yeah, go ahead. Tell me about that.
So actually last week, so Ryan Spann was the very first fight on the prelim card. He's from Beaumont, which is, you know, about an hour drive up from Houston. But we had him on Friday, just breaking down, because this was something that was completely new in the sports world. So we had him on and we talked a little bit. You know, he doesn't do interviews almost ever. So him knowing AJ and being friends with AJ, actually, he mentioned it on air. He was like, by the way, you guys know I don't do interviews, so that means I really love you guys. But we actually got to see it from his eyes of, okay, I showed up in Florida, I checked into the hotel, I get swabbed in the morning, I go, I work out, I do my stuff, I get swabbed before I go back to my hotel room, and you know, they're keeping us up. So it was interesting to hear from that perspective of basically being one of the guinea pigs of, we're going to try to do this and we have to do this right. And then tomorrow, I mean, we've got another UFC fight night. We're going to have Ike Villanueva from Houston. He's actually going to be on the show today to break down and talk about his strategy and everything going into the fights.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, look, I will be honest. Count me amongst the people that think it is insane we're trying to do this right now. But I do think even someone that stands where I do could not help but be riveted by hearing what the process is, what the reality for those guys has been to make sure that whether or not this makes sense, to make sure that it is, as I guess, safe is the right word, as it possibly can be. I mean, I think you can hear the news reports, but to hear from guys talk about doing this, especially in a time when UFC is the first entity casting a line back into the pond, like, that's a huge advantage for your show.
Oh yeah, it's great. And I mean, we even broke it down because, you know, Souza tested positive on Friday post weigh-ins, and so it's great to see that. And you know, I had plenty of audio yesterday on the show that we had available that, you know, Dana White wanted to be the one to prove, look, this virus isn't going to control the rest of our lives forever, we're going to keep going. And, you know, with the Souza test, it was, look, if we come back, if sports come back, you can't just kill everything off because one guy got it. Yes, you can kill off the stuff that's around him, but you can't shut down the entire thing. I mean, they scrapped the card. The guy he was at the weigh-ins with, you know, they're off. Cool. Yeah. But we have to keep going. There's going to have to be at some point where you press on.
Yeah. It's been an interesting thing to watch, for sure. And what is Texas like right now? I mean, I know you guys, I would imagine you guys are probably used to this. I would imagine a lot of the world discovered that there is someone out there named Dan Patrick that has nothing to do with sports. Probably for the first time about a month ago, whatever it was, he went on Sean Hannity's show.
Yeah.
I mean, what's it like? Because even though you have a governor and lieutenant governor that are want to rush to get things back, you also have local people that are saying, no, we're not going to do this. So what is it like day to day in Houston?
So most everybody that I've seen has gone for the most part back to work. Those who can, mm-hmm. luckily, because their jobs are there. To me, I feel like I'm that kid watching your parents argue right before divorce.
right.
So it's kind of weird, but for everybody I've seen and most people I've talked to, they just want to get back to life and they're going to do it come hell or high water. And, you know, I'm going to provide for my family. I'm going to do what I need to do. I'm going to take care of my stuff. Am I going to be safe about it? Yes. Am I mm-hmm. going to make sure I'm not trying to infect anybody else or get infected myself? Yes. Am I going to, you know, go hang out with somebody who's high risk? No. But a lot of people have just been like, you know what? I don't have it. Or if I had it, I don't know about it. And there's not enough antibody tests yet. Let's keep going and we'll see what happens.
Yeah. It is an interesting time for sure. And you guys, I think given AJ's MMA relationship and just the way your show has been built for so long, you guys are, I think, pretty well equipped to provide not only entertainment, but like meaningful insight in this time. I would imagine there are a lot of shows that either did a lot of cramming before Saturday night's fights or are very much tiptoeing on the line of not knowing what the hell they're talking about.
Oh yeah. And I mean, that's actually one of AJ's like biggest, and Fred's too, biggest pet peeves is the guys who will pull out an article, read it, and then basically just put it back in their own words and be like, well, this is what I think should happen in the fights. And I was like, do you know these fighters? Do you know what, like, I'm pretty sure AJ, if he could find a way to monetize it, would love to call into random shows and be like, hey, so Justin Gaethje's fighting on Saturday. What weight class is he in? And just see and just hear the, he's light heavyweight. No big deal. that kind of stuff. I know he's not light heavyweight. But for the most part, like,
fooled me.
Yeah. Well, sometimes my mouth works faster than my brain.
Could have fooled me.
but I know that he would probably, knowing him and his sense of humor, he would probably think it's hilarious to do that to some hosts who are going to try to, hey, sports is back. I got to talk about something I don't know about. And that's what they're really good about as well, is if we don't know about it, like, they don't talk about golf forever. They don't talk about NASCAR. NASCAR's coming back. Golf's coming back. They're not going to spend forever talking about it because that's not our area of expertise by any means.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, I've been saying this, and this is what I mean by it. It's such an advantage for you guys, the way y'all know MMA. Like, I mean, at what point are we done reliving Michael Jordan fantasies? Like, I can't tell you how many different versions of "wasn't he the greatest" that I've heard other stations do around the country, because I don't think they're equipped to talk about much else outside of, you know, sports and general guy talk. They don't have any sort of real niche expertise in the sports world. And, you know, this is sports related. This is what sports shows feel like they're supposed to be talking about to a certain extent right now. And I don't know that I've heard anybody do anything different. So having some expertise on the sports that are back really separates Fred and AJ from the pack.
It does. And I mean, from just my daily emails, I mean, all the research I do every morning, like, there's still sports out there to talk about. I mean, luckily, we live in a city where we have a bonehead GM running a national football team who all of a sudden just sold one of his best players up the river for a couple of magic beans that we know that the beans were rotten to begin with. There's always something sports related going on, and you can always find a way to tie it in. It's just, you have to be able, in my opinion, you have to be able to dig. You have to, you know, go through 30, 40 websites and find one person who went, you know what? I think that Bill O'Brien trading DeAndre Hopkins was the best move in franchise history, and here's why. And then you just go and you tear that guy a new one and go, you don't even watch the team. You're from Baltimore, dude. Come on. There's always something. No matter what market you're in, yes, everybody's going to see the same stories for the most part if they're all doing the same type of research, but you're going to have your own way of spinning it. And as long as you can make it entertaining, you've got me as a listener.
All right, so let's wrap up today with a little bit of talk about the producer being the PD in the room. Right now, with everybody trying to figure out what sort of creative segments work for their show, I think this is a really good time to be evaluating what benchmarks it's time to move on from, and what of these new sort of creative endeavors are something you can carry with you for a long time, even when sports comes back. So how do you determine which is which? Well, first of all, you pay attention to audience interaction, right? Whether that is on the phones, on Twitter, on the text line, whatever. What makes all of those things go off? That's a good indication that people are locked in. Obviously. The other thing to think about is how much work are each of these segments every day or every week when you put them together. If it feels like a lot of work to you, maybe that should tell you that not everybody in your cast is into it. And if somebody is not into an idea, it is torture for them and torture for the listener to make them execute that idea over and over and over again. Also, be paying attention to what you haven't done in a while that used to be, you know, old hat when games are in season and in session, and figure out what you can live without. I think that since sports betting has, the legality of sports betting has spread across the country, everybody is doing a picks segment. There are not a lot of interesting ways to execute a pick segment. So if you find yourself looking back and realizing, oh yeah, we haven't had a reason to pick a, you know, whatever, hockey game, baseball game, basketball game in so long, maybe it's time to think about, A, do we bring this back at all? Or B, if we're going to bring this back, what can we do to put it on par with the creative stuff we were forced to do when there were no games to pick? Constantly be evaluating where you go next right now. Big thank you to Aaron Raybould. Big thank you to Ryder. Again, RyderVO.com to get that custom demo for your station. I'm Demetri Ravanis, and I will talk to you next week.
Unbelievable. Maybe the show is over.
Thank you for listening to the Producers Podcast. To connect with Demetri, follow him on Twitter at Demetri Ravanos. And for the latest sports media news, visit our website, BarrettSportsMedia.com. We'll be right back.